In the 1930s, there was a pharmacist in Nambour called Mr. F.C. Zirk. How is that relevant? One day he was having a holiday. And as he was having a holiday, he was on the train, came through Stanthorpe in 1938. And as he arrived at the train station, he looked out and something came on him and he just said, "This is the land of the Lord." He looked out over Stanthorpe, so he went and he bought a block of land. He bought that block of land, went back home, gave it to the Baptist Union. They came out, had a look and said, "This land will make a fine residence, but it would be inappropriate for a church." That land was the corner of Hillcrest and Railway Street, Stanthorpe. Sound familiar? That was in 1938. In 1951, the Baptist Church was established, and we've been here ever since. They're the right dates, aren't they, Lois? 51? My dad was born in 1938. I wasn't even thought of. But the land came here. We are here because a man felt God say something to him, felt something in his spirit, and acted on it. He felt that there was a promise from God. I love a good promise. How good is a promise? When you're promised something, you know it's going to happen. When you're promised, you work towards that. You organize things around that. You build your future based around the promises. And when you have that promise, it's something you can bank on. You know it's going to happen. Well, unless it's someone who you don't trust. If it's promises made by someone who you don't trust, then you can't have that promise as a part of the future. You doubt it. You don't bank on it. It's just something that may or may not happen. And there's plenty of people that make promises. Sometimes it's mum and dad. Sometimes it's friends, politicians. There's all sorts of people that make promises and you sort of go, eh. But our God is faithful. Our God is trustworthy. If our God has made a promise, then our God will follow that promise through. And God has made promises to our town. He's made promises to Stanthorpe. And he's made promises to Stanthorpe Baptist Church. There's a story of a farmer. Well, he wasn't a farmer in the beginning. He had bought some land. And he kind of knew some stuff. He'd done a bit of research. He'd done a bit of walking around. He talked to some people. And he knew that the land he bought wasn't real good for crops. So he cleared the land. He took years. And he cleared the land of all the bad weeds. He cleared it all the rocks. He made it right. He got it all ready. He fertilized it. He got it ready. Then he planted his seeds. And every day he'd come back and he'd water his seeds with that expectation of something happening, something great growing. And each day he came back and there was nothing. And he came back for a couple of weeks and there was nothing. And he got really despondent. So he didn't go for a few days, a week. And then he came back and he saw that there was a few shoots in his land. But he also saw that in the surrounding areas, there was all of his crops. What he hadn't realised and what he came to realise was that when he'd thrown the seeds out, the birds had come and saw, "Thanks, thank you very much, take away," grabbed the seeds and then gone and spread them. The seeds had done their job. He'd done what he knew, but there was a gap. Now, I'm not much of a farmer. Do you like how I include myself in being a bit of a farmer? I'm not a farmer. In my mathematics, there's three elements that make farming: God, the creation, and the farmer. And those three things need to come together. God's there. We work with creation, with the animals, with the pollinator, with the land, with the weather, the rain. And the farmer comes in and works amongst that. And when all three things are working together, we get good crops. But when one of those elements is not right, it all falls apart. There's an element of a promise. When a promise is given, that there's another side to that. That not just that we need to be able to just trust, but there's often elements that we need to do in that element of a promise. I refer back to my mum. My mum made promises.
David, if you eat your vegetables, you'll get dessert.
Oh, the dog got so fat on vegetables. If you do your homework, yeah, well, what she doesn't know doesn't hurt. There were promises made. And if I lived up to my side of it, then the promise was delivered. And some promises are given without any responsibility. But some promises are given with responsibility. And if we don't do what we're meant to do or we're asked to do, then the promise will never come. God gives us promises. And often with the promise is the subtext of when you do this, if you live like this, if you, and then the promises come. And if we aren't living that life, if we aren't doing what God's asked us to do, then the promises can't come. When we first came here, Janelle and I came here, we felt God was saying that this place is a time of healing. For us, for Janelle and I, this is a place of healing. That for the church, this is a time of healing. For our town, this is a time of healing. That's the promise gave to us. What is the promises that God has made to Stanthorpe Baptist Church? It's interesting, when the first pastor came to Stanthorpe Baptist Church, Mr. Robert Beeston, in 1951, there was a prayer that was prayed and a statement made about what he would be about. And it says, although the area is a lovely one, the building up of our work will not be without difficulty. But we believe you are equipped for the task, and we trust in God and great love for ourselves of men. We are certain God will use you so that instead of remaining as an outpost of Baptist work, it will, under your ministry, become a base from which our work will radiate through the district. Later on, you may find it possible to touch Inglewood, which is about 66 miles away. Well, we haven't quite got to Inglewood yet. But he did establish something that's still here. He established a work here with the people who are a part of the congregation who work so hard to establish a work of God here. And we continue on in that. God made Joshua a promise that we read before, and I want to read out a little bit. I want to read verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors and give them. How good is that? And we look at the Bible and we see that God delivered on that. He delivered the land to the ancestors. The Israelites walked in and they took the land. And they're still there over centuries of time, that God gave them the land that he promised them. But following that is the bit that we don't read so much. We like this part. Be strong and courageous. God's made a promise. God will deliver. We like that. But the next part of it is the responsibility side. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. With the promise comes responsibility. We like the promise. We don't as much like the responsibility. So what do we know of Joshua when this was written? Joshua was born in Egypt. His original name was Jehovah-Shah, which means God is help. He was a part of the Exodus from Egypt. He was one of the 12 spies that was sent out into Canaan. Remember the spies that went out and 10 of them said, oh, they're big and horrible and mean and nasty, we can't do it. And two said, of which Joshua was one, is like, God is good, we can do this. And yet they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. He was a part of the 40 years of the wilderness time. He was the commander of the army that defeated the Amalekites. And that was the battle where Moses' hands were held up And when his hands went down, the battle went badly, and his hands were up, and the battle went well. He was given authority from Moses to take over the after his death, and he led the people into the promised land. Joshua stood before God. He stood before God as the new leader, the appointed leader, after all of the wilderness, after the amazing great leader of Moses, the one of the greatest leaders in Israelite history. He had to follow in his footsteps. And as you can imagine, Joshua was a little concerned and he felt a little inferior. And what did God say? He said to be strong and be courageous. So in this passage, in this context, we see three phases of Israel. The first phase of Israel is the growth of Israel under slavery in Egypt. And the slavery was there. They were nothing but worker ants in Egypt. They were hard treated badly. They were persecuted. God was with them and God was showing them what they could be, and yet they were in this place of brokenness. The second era was in the wilderness. Israel for 40 years wandered around in circles and sort of achieved nothing and kind of waited for the old people to die, which sounds really harsh. But when they were to enter the land, as I said before, and Joshua came back and said, "We can do this," and they said, "No, we can't, it's too hard." They wandered around in the wilderness till all those who were alive then passed away, so the next generation took on the promise that God had in the promised land. And then there was Canaan. And in Canaan was the promised land where they walked, they saw victory, they saw lots of things, but they inherited the land that God had promised. And I think in us as people and as churches, we see these three types of things as well. We see people and we see churches that are living in brokenness, living in sin. Churches that are more of a social club than they are a church. More of a group of people than God's people. And we see people or churches that are like Egypt. But we also see churches that are like the wilderness church or the wilderness Israelite. Churches that seem to go around in circles. They meet budget, they have beautiful church buildings, everything is done. The people are happy, but they're very connected inside. And some might say they're waiting for the traditions to die so the next generation might take over to get vision. Then there's the Canaanite church. Churches that are excited about what they could be, that are walking into the inheritance that God has given them, walking into the promises that God has made them, an excitement about reaching out into the community, an excitement about doing what God's called the church to be. I want to be a part of a Canaan church. I want to be a church that's reaching out in the community, doing what God's called us to do, walking in that passion of seeing that God has made promises and we're walking into the promises that God has made for us as a community. A community where we're connected together, supporting each other with excitement and encouragement, saying this is who we are becoming. Not stuck in the traditions, not stuck in what we have to do, not afraid to look out, but only looking in. A church that's looking to where God's taken us. I don't want to look back in years' time and go, we were caught in a trap. We were caught in a rut. I want to look back from years in the future and go, how good was that time? How good was it to be around us? How good is it to see what God has done? In 1872, a few years back, Stanthorpe was established as a town and it was growing really well. It had a lot of income from tin. And 2 years after that, Father Davardi, I hope I got that right, was a Catholic priest who came to town. Father Davardi was a man who'd come from Italy. He was called here as set as the parish priest. And he looked around and realised that tin and the income from tin was not going to last forever. And he looked around at what could happen. Father Davardi is known now as the instigator of farming and the instigator of the wine in this area. He started by making communion wine, interesting, He could never have been a Baptist. He started off by making communion wide, but by having a vision of saying, what we can be is not necessarily seen by who we are. And he led by saying, who are we becoming as a town? So often we get stuck in the trap of saying, but this is who we are. We are a tin mining town. See the wealth we have from tin. Maybe we can mine other things. Maybe we can expand our tin mining. But he was smart enough to know that the town needed to move in a new industry. And he led by actually creating farms and setting up the way of doing farming. He set that up as a priest to be able to say, this is where our future is. We are called as a people to say, where are we tomorrow, not where were we yesterday. Not to be disgusted and frustrated and angered by not being able to grow in the ways that we have, but to be able to say, where is God leading us? Now, am I saying the traditions aren't important? No, I'm not. Please don't hear that. Am I saying the culture, former culture, is not important? No, I'm not. It is important. But where is our focus? Where are our eyes? Because our eyes can be trapped. We can be trapped in the wilderness. You know, I reckon the Israelites, a part of them, I can imagine, I'm putting myself, imagining the wilderness as they're wandering through, the young ones looking around at the older people and say, will you please die so we can get out of the desert? I know that sounds harsh, but surely they must have thought that. But another part would be, my whole life I've lived in the desert. This is what I know. What would it be like to go and fight and to take that land, to become farmers or staff? Can you imagine what the fear would be like? So there's these two elements at play of saying, I am really comfortable where I am, but where I'm going, I believe will be better. But that's scary. For a lot of us, we have that place of going, I'm comfortable where I am. I'm comfortable with what I know. I'm comfortable with my experience, with the traditions, with the culture, with the things around me. I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable in my lifestyle. But God's calling us to go into uncharted territories, to walk across that river, or in Israel context, through that river, to be able to fight these giants and this beautiful land, to be able to fight for that, to take the inheritance that God has for us. What did God promise Joshua? To inherit the land, that God will be with us and will be prosperous and successful. What has God promised us as Stanthorpe Baptist Church? Stanthorpe, as a town in history, has had many churches that have started and stopped and kicked off and then fizzled and then started again. The Presbyterian Church started in a couple of different places before it was established in Stanthorpe. The Wesleyan Methodist started in a couple of places before they established in High Street. The Baptist Church had 4 or 5 or 6 kickoffs before it got going in 1951. It has a history of people coming in to establish a church, and they'd have tent meetings and they'd do door knocking and they have evangelistic meetings. That's the history of the Baptist Church before 1951. And there were many Baptists that lived in the area, that ministered into the area, that went to different churches. And a strong one was filled with Baptists was the Thalimba Presbyterian Church. And it was supported by the Warwick Baptist Church. But what happened in Stanthorpe, and I think we've seen over the years, that churches get going and then fumble, get going and then fumble, and then get going and then fumble. And I think there's some cycles that have happened in Stanthorpe in the history. But the Baptists have a history of transforming the community. Baptists don't go into a town and go, let's gather all the Baptists and have a nice party and eat fellowship dinners together. The tradition of the Baptists is to speak the word of God, to change our community, to speak with those outside the church and to invite them in and to disciple them. That's the history of us as Baptists. And I'd like to say that that's the tradition and the history that we're going to continue in. Reaching into our community, transforming our community, teaching the Bible, loving each other, and always with an eye out. I think over the last couple of years, we struggled with our identity as Stanthorpe Baptist Church. We've struggled with who we are, that we've lost a bit of direction. But I believe God has something for us, that we're walking towards something, that He's leading us into a promise that He has for us. There's a promise that's before us. God has made a promise for who we are as a people. But having said that, there's also a responsibility. We like the promise, but we struggle with the responsibility. So let's go back to verse 7. When we read from Joshua 1 before, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it from the right to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So what are the responsibilities? Well, firstly, read, obey, and follow God's words. The first thing is we need to make the Word of God central to who we are. We need to chase after the Word. We need to meditate on it day and night, to understand what the Word is saying, to be able to believe and to struggle with what it's saying to us. What is God saying to us as a people? What is God saying through His Word? Meditating, remembering what the Bible is saying. We need to make the Word our constant practice. But we need to do more than that. We need for the Word of God to transform us. We need to have the Word of God living in us to complete its purpose. We can't just be head knowledge people. We can't be just people who know the Word, speak the Word, and say the Word, but not living. There's so much history in Australia of people who have spoken the Word but not lived it, and having no integrity. We are a people of integrity. And God's saying, if you're reading the Word, the Word is there to change us, to transform us. That's what the Word is there for. And if the Word is not changing us, if we're not getting it into our hearts and into our lives, then we're missing the point of what the Bible's about. God's saying to get into the Word, to meditate on the Word, to know the Word, to love the Word, for that Word to transform us, to change us, to change us as a people. But then also, once that's happening, then God can deliver His promises. The promises are not going to come before we follow through with what God's asked us to do. God's calling us to know the Word, to live the Word, be transformed by the Word, and then walk in the promises that God has given us as a community and as a people. He tells us also to be strong and courageous. Hebrews 13:6 says, "And so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Our life, our hope, is based in where Jesus is saying for us that we'll be. Our lives are based in the Word of God, in Jesus, in the hope of the future. I'm getting a little tangled in my words. But God has a future for us that's amazing, and we need to walk into that. We as people one day will be sitting with God in heaven. That's our future. God is the creator of the universe, the sustainer of all life. God is God. Why do we walk in fear? We see our community around us, and what can they do? They can mock us, they can harass us, they can persecute us, they can kill us. But what does that mean? That means we walk as Jesus walked. It means we walk in the life that He showed, He modeled, that He lived through, that He understands. We walk in the life that Jesus has modeled for us to live in. And one day we'll be sitting with Him, walking with Him. And if we're killed early, then we're with Him sooner. And that's not all bad. So what do we have to fear? God's saying that we can confidently say the life in the future is better than is today. What's around us may not be, but life with God is better in the future than what we have today. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. You know, as people, as Christians, we're called to be holy in an unholy world. The world around us is not of God. The world around us does not reflect God. That's obvious. But we're not called to hide from it, to be separated from it. We're called to be a part of the world, but to bring holiness to the world. We're called to stand out, to stand up for God, to be change makers, to be transformers of our community, to not be transformed by our community, but be transformers of our community. We're called to make a change as a people, as a church, together. When we talk about do not be afraid or discouraged, is that a spiritual gift? If God's saying to Joshua, do not be afraid or discouraged, what is he telling him? He's telling him to make a choice. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. It's a choice. We have that choice. Now, God works with us. Don't hear that. Don't hear that I'm separating them. God works in us. God gives us strength. God gives us courage. But we also need to walk in the choice of not being discouraged and to not be afraid. That's a choice that we make. We will experience fear. It's natural. It's a part of who we are. But we can't walk in that fear. Fear can teach us. Fear can protect us. Fear is where we make a choice over what decisions that we make. Don't be a bondage to fear, but chase after God. Be strong and courageous. Make the choice in who we are as a people, as people, that I will not walk in fear. I will not walk in discouragement. I will be strong. I will be courageous because I am following the God of the universe. I am following the one who created this place, who sustains life. I am following the God who died for me. I am following the God who has a good place in front of me. I am chasing an almighty God, and he is the only God, and he is on my side. What do I have to fear? What do I have to be discouraged by? Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors and to give them. As we face today, as we face tomorrow, we need to walk in strength and in courage. We need to walk in God's promises of who he is and what's in front of us. We need to be so convinced of who God is that what we see around us is just peripheral. So what is the responsibility on us? Well, the first thing is to do what God has called us to do. What's God called us to do? Matthew 28:18. I'm going to harp on this for the entire time I'm in this place until we get it. And then I'm going to harp on it some more. God called us to go into the world and to make disciples. That's who we are. That's our core call. That's the basis of us as a people. That's the basis of us as a Christian. We exist to honor God, to worship God, and to tell others about who God is. That's it. We are called to transform our community. And if we're not going to do that, we're missing what God's called us to do. God's calling us to transform the world we live in. There's a story in World War II. As America was coming over and England was coming over and they were bombing through Europe, a lot of the planes got shot down. And in Yugoslavia, many servicemen who were shot down landed on the ground, and as they're floating down in their parachutes, I can imagine what's going through their heads. I survived a plane getting shot down, and I'm about to be a prisoner of war. But what happened in Yugoslavia is the Yugoslavian people all got together to protect the Americans. And as they saw someone come down, they'd grab them and they'd hide them and they'd protect them. And then they would smuggle them out. And there was a group of many, many Yugoslavians that worked together to take the servicemen to get to a secret airport to fly them out, and they saved over 500 Air Force people. An amazing story of what people can do, and similar to what our role is, that we have people in our community that don't know God, that are going to a place that's horrid. What are we going to do about it? We're going to grab them. We're going to hide them from the evil one, and we're going to smuggle him in to find God and to be able to release them into the freedom of knowing God. That's who we are as a church. We are a people who protect the broken, who bring healing to the broken, who give hope to the broken, see them changed and transformed so that they might know God for themselves. We are called to change this world, to transform this world. But that's not all our responsibility. A part of our responsibility is also in Matthew 22, 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Our first responsibility is to love God. Our God needs to be our first priority, our be-all and end-all, where we understand ethics, where we understand morality, where we understand right and wrong, where we understand good and bad. Our God is our model and our role and our base plate for our entire life. Everything we do and know needs to be filtered through God, through His Word, full stop. We need to love God with all that we have. But then beyond that, we need to treat others as ourselves. We need to love those around us. And who do we need to love more than the people sitting in this room with us? Our church community. They are our first brothers and sisters, our closest brothers and sisters. Our responsibility is to love us wholeheartedly, better than any family could love. Our first priority is to love God. And equally first, but a little bit under it, is to love those who God loves, to be encouraging and empowering people. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we had a church meeting, and Jamie and Graham, if you could come out here, please. And what we did is we talked about who are we and who do we see ourselves as being. What Graham and Jamie are bringing around is, from the meeting, I took lots of words and lots of thoughts from everyone, and I've put it into a statement. Now, there's two sides of this piece of paper, and they are different, surprisingly. On the one side, it says, "We are Stanthorpe Baptist Church, a scriptural basis for our statement." And on the other side, "We are Stanthorpe Baptist Church, a village of authentic disciples." The one that says the authentic disciples, what I've taken is the words and the thoughts that came out of the meeting we had. I've taken that, I've put it into prose as a statement of who we are. And then the elders and the deacons have had a read and a couple of comments. And so what I'd like to do is to make this a statement of who we are. So I'm going to read it out as we all read it. And then what I'm going to do is ask us to read it together, to make a commitment to say, this is who we are as a people, this is who we are becoming. Okay, so I'm just going to read it out. It's on the screen if you don't want to read black and white. "We are Stanthorpe Baptist Church, a village of authentic disciples." Now, what I've written there, the village of authentic disciples, God calls us to be disciples and God calls us to disciple others. We're more than just people who know each other. We disciple each other. We walk with each other. Authentic, I think, is important. It came out in the meeting that we had. But the integrity of who we are as disciples, integrity of what we are as Christians, is vitally important to who we are. It's the expression of what's inside that we're authentic, that we're not pretending to be something else. A village is a word that I didn't create the word, but I pulled it in there because it has this image that we all have a part to play. A village, there's different people with different roles, different responsibilities. We know each other, we love each other as a village, we're connected together, and we're all integral into the role of a village. I wanted to use something a little different to body or family or town. I don't know if you're comfortable with a village of authentic disciples. I thought it fitted with who we are. That's just where that came from. That wasn't a part of the meeting. That's just a bit of Dave I threw in. So, we are a village of authentic disciples. We are passionate about knowing Jesus, being centered around Jesus, and becoming more like Jesus. We are led by the Holy Spirit and through knowing Jesus to know the Father. We place the Bible and God's words as central to our lives. We value prayer as a foundation of all we do. We are committed to living an authentic, Christ-like life every hour of every day in every way. We are the church. We are a welcoming place for people to connect and to belong. Our focus is towards reaching out to and drawing in those who are seeking Jesus for the hurt and the broken. We prioritise reaching the hearts and the souls of the lost over our own desires. We are committed to authenticity and forgiveness. We respect each other, we encourage each other, we speak positively with and to each other. We walk in grace and love while authentically live out our devotion as a disciple of Jesus. We reflect Jesus by embracing our diversity of generations, race, gender, and socioeconomic status. We are generous in our actions and our words. We honour humility. Everyone is valued and respected, playing different roles within the body of Christ as we love and serve each other. We believe the key role for leadership is service. The leadership's role is to empower and encourage the community to be stronger, healthier, and more like Jesus. We acknowledge our past without dwelling on it. We trust and hope rather than judge. We believe the best in each other and respect each other's beliefs as we pursue Jesus together. We are a community of healing and transformation. We are a safe place where we smile, we laugh, and at times we cry together. We walk with each other through good days and bad. We are gracious to ourselves when we fall short of our goals as we strive to honour Jesus. We believe in faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. What I want to do is just to let you sit with that for about a minute, and then I'm going to ask you to stand up if you agree with that, if you agree with that being a part of who we are, and if you're going to commit yourself to being like that. I'm going to get us to stand up and read that together. So I just want to give us about a minute just to ponder on that, to read through it. I could speak for 2 hours on the words in there and what that means. We could probably argue over a couple of little words here and there. But as a whole, is that who we are as a people? Is that who we would long to become? Okay. If you were willing to stand up and to commit yourself to this, as we commit ourselves as a church to this, please stand. And Janelle, if you can go back to the beginning, we'll read through it together. We are Stanthorpe Baptist Church, a village of authentic disciples. We are passionate about knowing Jesus, being centered around Jesus, and becoming more like Jesus. We are led by the Holy Spirit and through knowing Jesus to know the Father. We place the Bible and God's words as central to our lives. We value prayer as a foundation of all we do. We are committed to living an authentic, Christ-like life every hour of every day in every way. We are the church. We are a welcoming place for people to connect to and belong. Our focus is towards reaching out to and drawing in those who are seeking Jesus for the hurt and the broken. We prioritise reaching the hearts and souls of the lost over our own desires. We are committed to the authenticity and forgiveness. We respect each other. We encourage each other. We speak positively with each and to each other. We walk in grace and love while authentically live out our devotion as a disciple of Jesus. We reflect Jesus by embracing our diversity of generations, race, gender, and socioeconomic status. We are generous in our actions and our words. We honour humility. Everyone is valued and respected, playing different roles within the body of Christ as we love and serve each other.
We believe the key role for leadership is service. The leadership's role is to empower and encourage the community to be stronger, healthier, and more like Jesus. We acknowledge our past without dwelling on it. We trust and hope rather than judge. We believe the best in each other, respect each other's beliefs as we pursue Jesus together. We are a community of healing and transformation. We are a safe place where we smile, we laugh, and at times we cry together. We walk with each other through good days and bad. We are gracious to ourselves when we fall short of our goals as we strive to honour Jesus. We believe in faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Let's pray. Father, you are great. You are good. We look to you as our guide. We look to you as our saviour. We look to you as our future and our hope. We honour you, we praise you, we give you glory in everything that we do. Father, thank you for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for each and every person in this room and for those who are not here with us. Father, I ask that you enable us to be able to do what you've called us to do as a people, to love each other, to walk in grace and mercy, to strengthen and empower each other as we walk towards you. Help us to know the word, to love the word, and for the word to transform us. And Father, help us to reek of the aroma of Jesus in everything that we do. Father, help us to be your people, to know ourselves as brothers and sisters with each other, to be able to see your glory come to this place. In Jesus' name, amen.